Welcome to episode 61 of Published. Today I'm speaking with one of Greenleaf's editors, Lee Reed Czarniecue. Lee will tell us how to piece together a memoir and give us her insights into the do's and don'ts of memoir writing from an editor's perspective.
Welcome to Published, a podcast by Greenleaf Book Group, where we'll discuss the ins and outs of the publishing industry, from writing a book and finding the right publisher, to gearing up for a book launch. And now, here's your host, Greenleaf Book Group CEO, Tanya Hall.
Welcome back to Published. In this episode, we are talking about memoirs and how to best turn your personal journey into a book for many to enjoy. If you're someone with an interesting life story, you may have been told by friends and family that you should write a book, but many authors struggle to put their experiences on paper in an authentic way that resonates with readers. This is where an editor's insight comes in handy, and in today's episode, Lee will tell us how authors can make their memoir stand out. A memoir isn't just a collection of anecdotes, it's also meant to be a narrative, so it takes some crafting to get it right. And Lee explains how she guides authors who are struggling with this by helping them to identify their narrative arc and what makes their memoir unique. Memoirs can be incredibly impactful for readers who can resonate and identify with the story, but sometimes authors can be torn between which genre to go with, memoir or self-help. These two genres often share similarities with the inclusion of personal story and anecdotes, but their audiences and impact can be very different. So Lee will share her insights on this topic in our episode today and give any prospective memoirists her best advice on how to get started. Let's get into the interview. All right, Lee, thank you so much for joining us today on Published. We're happy to have you.
You're welcome. I'm thrilled to be here. Thanks for asking me.
Oh, of course. How about let's start by having you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do at Greenleaf Book Group.
Sure. Well, I'm an editor with Greenleaf, and that is a really fun position because it means I get to help our authors with all of their content. That could mean that I'm working with them directly on shaping their content, or it might be that I'm kind of like a Sherpa for them as their book goes through the book process, at least on the content side. So either I'm helping, advising, guiding, or working with them directly on how to shape their words. But I think one of the most important parts of that role is that I'm a proxy for their reader. You know, I'm the person that can say, hey, I know what you're trying to say, but this is how it's coming across to your reader, or have you thought about it from this reader's perspective? And let's help you find that connection between what you want to say and what's going to make the best reader experience.
That's a very important point and one that I make in my book, because I think as soon as authors, in exactly those words, actually, a proxy for the reader, because when authors realize that, the editor becomes a lot less intimidating and they realize that the editor is an ally. So I love that you said that.
Yeah, we're a partner. We really are.
Absolutely. So what do you enjoy about editing memoirs as opposed to other genres, since that's what we're focused on today?
Well, I think one of the things I really love about memoir is personally, I just find people fascinating. I really do. And I love hearing their stories. And the other thing I love about memoirs is it is a story. It's a true story, but it is a story. So you are getting a double experience. You're learning about a person and understanding a slice of life, but you're also being entertained. And so that's that's a wonderful package. But I think that one of the other things I really love about memoirs is that memoir authors are brave. You know, they're offering up their personal story as a gift for readers. And I just really respect that. And I feel pretty honored to help them with that journey.
Yeah, it's a very vulnerable one, isn't it? Yeah. So to start off our deep dive into memoirs, can you share a bit with our listeners who maybe aren't as familiar what some of the characteristics or standard elements of a memoir would be?
Absolutely. I think, you know, one thing that distinguishes a memoir is that even though you are telling your personal story, you're telling it for a reason. There's going to be a theme or a message that the reader is going to gain from that story. It's an authentic personal experience, and authentic is really an important part of that. You know, it is a vulnerable, honest, true feeling of this is what's happened. Memoirs need to be relatable and relevant, something that connects to what people are going through today. They are not flat. They need to have some kind of drama, conflict, some kind of storytelling that helps them be engaging. And a real key point about memoirs is they have voice. You know, this is somebody's personal story, so it needs to sound like a personal story.
And what are some of the author's responsibilities when writing a memoir?
Well, I think there's kind of three key things I like for authors to think of is this is my job with writing this memoir. One is the responsibility to the reader. Kind of related to those key elements is that you need to be honest and vulnerable with the reader. You are asking them to invest their time into your story. And so you need to meet that expectation and really tell them the full truth and dig deep. And you need to do it in a way that is a story and connects and engages. So that's the responsibility to the reader. We have a responsibility to the rules. You know, we can't just say anything we want about real living people, as much as that might be tempting. But there are some laws out there that we all have to follow. And this comes up with any kind of book. But I think it particularly is an issue for memoir because it's hard to tell your story without talking about other people. So authors need to be prepared to come to their work, being flexible about their word choice, possibly. They need to be ready to do some research, maybe to back up their characterizations. And they may have to have some tough conversations with people about what they're putting in their book. So these are all things that are some of the work the author has to do in order to be able to follow those rules. And then the third thing is, I really think authors have a responsibility to themselves. And that is because you are being so open and honest and vulnerable, you have to take care of yourself. This is not a simple thing to do. And it's going to be a very emotional journey, some ups, some downs. But as you navigate that, you're reliving really big parts of your life, and both in the writing process and then again when you edit. So I really encourage authors to think about how are they going to care for themselves as they go through that emotional journey more than once.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And as an aside, I would tell our listeners, when it comes to things like releases, which are very important in the world of memoir, perhaps consider listening to the published episode that we did on releases, because there's probably more to it than you think.
That's right.
Now, speaking of releases, what are some of the common mistakes that you see authors make when writing a memoir?
Well, I think some of it is one of the things we've mentioned about don't forget the reader's experience. So often you think it's my story. This is what I want to say. And that's great. But remember, you're offering this to the reader and you want the reader to want to invest in not only to buy your book once, but then to tell everybody else it's fabulous and that they should get it too. So you have to sometimes kind of put the I aside and think about what of my story it makes the best reader experience. So that is one thing we see. Another one is kind of like a series of knots, is to remember that this is not an autobiography, meaning it's not a step-by-step chronology of your life necessarily, even if we end up telling it in chronological order. It's not an encyclopedia entry or an Oscars acceptance speech. We're not looking for, you know, brief skimming over the highlights and not going deep. And we're not looking for just a litany of here's all the wonderful people in my life that made it possible and only that. We're not looking for that a lecture where you're talking down to people or only teaching. In fact, the teaching should come from the experience, not necessarily from explicitly on the page. And we're not looking for a diary. We're not looking for only every thought that comes out of your mind without any arc to it and without any shape to it. I think it's the knots that sometimes sort of help people realize, hey, maybe I need to rein it back in or get some help with shaping my memoir.
You said something right at the top of that answer that I think a lot of listeners might not realize, which is that a memoir is not necessarily an autobiography. Can you further explain that? Because I think a lot of people might not know the difference.
Well, so in an autobiography, you're talking about what are the steps of my life almost? You know, I was born here. This is the town I grew up in. This is my parents were so-and-so-and-so-and-so. And these were their jobs. And you go all the way through all of the steps of your life. And you're really kind of putting out a very linear, descriptive facts about your life. And you're laying it out there as in somebody wants to research you and wants to know about you. And a memoir, you have something to share. You have a message that you think will help someone else. And so you're going to cherry pick from the parts of your life that help convey that message. And so I like to think of it more as a series of anecdotes that support that key theme or key message rather than every single thing that's happened in your life.
That makes sense. And you also mentioned that there's this need to balance the personal elements of their story with being authentic and keeping the reader in mind. And of course, nobody wants to read a memoir that it's like somebody's diary. I did this and then I woke up and I did that. So how can an author find that special balance of personal elements and yet a compelling story? And do you have any examples you can share?
Sure. I think the most important thing is to know your message. And in fact, a lot of times when I'm working with any author, whether it's on memoir or any genre, is I ask them, we work on what is that message, and I have them put it someplace where they're writing so that they remember that this is my goal here is to tell this message. Then I would encourage people to kind of look at all those different anecdotes you want to include and evaluate them. Does this support the message I'm trying to give? If it doesn't, then unless it's adding to the atmosphere or tone of the story, it's probably not needing to be there. And so we might be able to pull a few things out. I often actually would encourage people that they could write their vignettes, their anecdotes out of order. And that might help break that need to put in all these, and then I did this, and then I did that, that don't really serve the message. And it really helps you focus in on what's important about this vignette. So writing it out of order is not necessarily a bad idea. You can then shape it back together. And I think another sort of helpful way to look at it is think about when you go to a movie or even better to a play. And the director and the screenwriters have made choices about what they show you because they only have so much time. And even with the play, even better, they only have so much set to work with and so many characters. So they have been very discerning. They've curated the story to just what you need to know to serve what that needs to be delivered for your experience. And kind of think of it that way. If you're going to take the director's fingers and look at the different anecdotes in your life and say, yes, this is the one that really frames what I'm trying to say. So think like a director. Some examples that I love, take that to heart and sometimes don't even put things chronologically, or they have a chronological arc and they employ a lot of fiction tools of flashbacks and reveals as they go. So if you think about Augustine Burroughs and some of his fun work, and one that I really that stuck with me was Toil and Trouble. And that's an unusual book. I mean, he is talking about being a witch. It's not a typical book, but he uses some chronology about a storm that's coming their way and the house that they have, that he and his partner purchased, and a tree that he knows is unhealthy and that nobody else can see it yet. And that tree coming up throughout as a marker in the book of the fact that he can see and understand things that other people don't pay attention to yet is really helpful. So when we're talking about the tree, it's not just, by the way, we bought this house and there was a pretty tree. We actually understand that the tree means something. And what we're revealed about his story with his partner kind of comes along in those pieces of, here's how I can show you how I understand things before other people do. And that tree's the metaphor. I think other people that do that well, a lot of people know Cheryl Strayed's Wild. She also takes you on the chronology of her hike on the Pacific Northwest Trail, but you learn so much about her personal life before then in small snippets that fit the drama of what's going on the trail, and it comes up at the right time. I think those are some of the best examples that I can think of. But even if you look at books that are maybe only partial memoir and are designed to kind of be more teachers, I can think of Admiral McRaven's The Hero Code. Not really a traditional memoir. It's more of a set of lessons, but it is his anecdotes from his personal experience. And again, those are great, short, focused vignettes that they start when they need to and they end when they need to, and they cover the key point he wants to show you.
Great. Those are wonderful examples, and you've added to my reading list in a few cases there. And I know that in those and in many of the memoirs that we love here at Greenleaf, there's a very distinct author voice. That's so important, of course, to developing a compelling read, whether it's funny or aspirational or serious. So do you have any tips or guidelines or advice as to how an author can find their own unique and distinct voice?
Absolutely. Memoir authors can learn a lot from fiction authors because they often have to do the same thing with creating compelling, engaging stories, showing rather than telling, and finding their voice. So you can use a lot of the same tools that are written for fiction authors if you look at that. But some of those include, first of all, finding a place or a time to write where you can really be authentic. And for me, when I do my personal writing, my family cannot be in the house. I just can't. They're lovely. They totally support me. But I cannot really go deep while I'm listening to worrying about what's going on with the family. So find that place and time where you can truly be you and not have any of the outside worries there. Another technique that a lot of fiction writers use that would work well for a memoir author would be to free write, meaning you just sit down and force yourself to write for a certain amount of time and you don't worry about what you're saying. Don't pick a topic necessarily that's even in your book. Just pick something that you feel like you can sit down and write about. Set it aside, come back to it maybe a week later and read it with fresh eyes and highlight what you like, what really sings to you, what sounds like you. And you'll start to see what your voice is there. For some of our authors who have maybe had business careers where they've had people help them with their writing in the past, if they've ever had a speechwriter, have a conversation with that speechwriter and say, what did you do to create my voice? I promise you that speechwriter knows what they've done to help make that voice. Or go back and look at the speeches that were written for you and see what do you like and pull that as well. If you have that resource.
Yeah, those are great tips. Now, celebrity memoirs, obviously very popular for good reason. These are household names, but most authors don't have that advantage in their court, and they don't have this huge platform of readers waiting to gobble up their story. So are there things they can do proactively and strategically within the manuscript itself to better engage their readers and to ensure, as you mentioned earlier, that not only do they read it, but they tell a friend who also buys it?
Right. Well, I think that's knowing what you have to offer, really, and not being shy about that to yourself. A lot of times a lot of us do, especially women sometimes do this, but I used to call it the reverse Wonder Woman, where we put on those reflective bracelets that she would use to, you know, push off the different bullets. And we do that for ourselves. Like we think about, oh, I'm good at this. No, I'm too humble. I'm not that. So go ahead and own what you have to offer. And then think about that. Do you have a unique perspective maybe to offer? Do you have some unflinching honesty? Are you willing to go there when other people aren't? Do you have an untold story on the problem of the day? Do you have a captivating voice? Some people know that they have a great way of, or people tell them, of being able to tell a story. Can you offer a peek behind the curtain that nobody has offered before? And so think of these things and know what you have to offer. And that is something that you can bring out both in your story when you're deciding what vignettes, what anecdotes am I going to include, what supports that I have to offer, but also too, when you're working with your book team about your marketing copy and how you are going to go out and let people know about your fabulous book, be able to state that very clearly. This is what this book offers to the world. And I think that's, again, simply a place where an editor can help and where a book team can help. Is sometimes you may not see that, but when we listen to you talk and we have conversations and we read your work, we might be able to see it and might be able to help point it out for you.
Yeah, and you're saying that so calmly and humbly, but to me, that is one of the most magical moments I ever witness, when authors sit down with an editor and the editor can find that through line, whatever it is in their story that makes the author's eyes light up and they're just like, you get it. And that all makes sense. And it's like this weight comes off of them. I love it. I can't do it. And so I think I'm especially in awe of it when I watch you guys do it. It's just amazing. Now you talked about what an author wants to achieve in telling this story. And I think something we often see in memoirs an author wants to teach in a roundabout way sometimes. They want to teach their readers about some lesson that evolved in their life or something they learned. And these books can start to straddle a line between memoir and self-help. And sometimes I think it's, and you mentioned McRaven's is even like that, but it can, it's prescriptive sometimes mm-hmm. as much as it is memoir. And that can be good and bad because it can create some challenges when it comes to publishing and figuring out which genre is it. So right. Can you give any advice or help an author understand maybe when they should veer one way or the other, or how can they, if they're dead set on memoir, how can they incorporate that type of advice and still stay true to the memoir genre?
Well, I think there's kind of three different things to look at. One is, what is your goal? Do you want to teach or do you want to inspire and share? And, you know, those that's a real honest conversation you need to have in the mirror. Which one is my bigger driver that I want to do? If your biggest driver is to teach, then probably we need to look at either self-help or business leadership or, you know, essays, like even if you're teaching on a big issue for society, like Ta-Nehisi Coates, for example, you know, there's a lot of memoir element in there, but depending on if you were going to focus more on personal story, some of his books and essays are memoir, or if he's going to talk about how he sees race in society, then that's more of essay and nonfiction. So what is that goal? Is it teach? Or if it's inspire and share, meaning you want to offer it up and let people take from it what they will, then that's memoir. And some ways to ask yourself, what do I want to do, is to think, well, do I want to tell people what to do? Do I want to give them steps or an approach or resources? That's teaching with self-help. Do I want to show them what it's like and share my experience? That's memoir. If you're writing a mixture of both, like we've brought up some examples, then that's again where an editor or a book team can come and say, okay, let me mirror that for you. Let me show you how that you're straddling two camps. And either that's okay, but we're going to pick this way to market it, or let's shape that and refine and make some choices so that we pull it more into one camp or the other. I think the other question you have to ask yourself is, where do you get your authority to the reader? Is it from your lived experience? Then that's memoir. If your authority is from your acquired knowledge or from your professional career, then it might be either self-help or nonfiction or business leadership of some type.
Yeah, very good advice. So for our listeners who are interested in starting work on their own memoir, how would you suggest they get started?
Well, I think it depends on the personality. People will talk to fiction writers and say, are you a plotter or a pantser? Meaning, like, do you have to write everything out and outline it, or do you go by the seat of your pants? I think actually, in reality, most people are plantsers, where they're like the combination of both, because you have to have some sense of where you're going, or you'll feel like you're spinning your wheels, but then you have to allow yourself to grow and realize as you go. So this is kind of my kind of in-between approach as to how people can get started. And the one is to come up with that premise. It doesn't have to be perfect and it doesn't have to be pretty, but you have to know where you want to go. And so I'd almost have people fill out a sentence like this, which is, my fill-in type of reader will find my book either inspiring, intriguing, enlightening, reassuring, pick your word there, because I can pick a word, show, entertain, something else. About, again, pick your word, slice of light, situation, experience, background. So kind of create a sentence like that. This is what my book is going to do for a reader because I can show this. You can also think about there, I can help them feel this too. Might also be part of it. So come up with that premise and then maybe brainstorm a list of anecdotes from your life that support that theme. Don't worry about the order. Don't worry about judging them yet. Just start brainstorming that list. And then write about each of those anecdotes, again, in the order that speaks to you and that is most connected to that theme, not necessarily in chronological order. And then read it over and see what's taking shape. And that's, again, where, you know, a good developmental editor or, you know, some good friends can help you start seeing that arc if you need it. So that's that kind of in-between space. Some people who are outliners might just start really making sure they've got that proper outline for the arc, but they just need to take care that it doesn't become a linear chronological story. So that's kind of why I like that brainstorming the anecdotes, start writing each anecdote and see what's coming to life for you.
And I love the way you've described the premise, because as I'm listening to you, it sounds like a mission statement. You know, we would, for a business, we would talk about a mission statement being the thing that is your North Star that guides all of the decisions and your strategy and so forth. And that's really what this premise is, in terms of the promise to the reader that our author is working toward.
That's right. And or if people come from more of a marketing background, they might think of the call to action. Mm-hmm. And I often will tell people, you know, think about what do you want your reader to either know, understand, feel, or do? And is there, you know, and then how does that help you then come up with that premise statement?
Yeah, wonderful. Well, do you have any parting advice for our existing or aspiring memoir listeners today?
I would say don't be daunted by anything we've talked about today. Sometimes people get a little scared to get started when they know they can do it. And to, again, go back to that responsibility to yourself of taking care of yourself. And part of that taking care of yourself is knowing that this is work, but it's rewarding work. And it feels really good when you get through it. So just find your way to help yourself not get in your own way and take the plunge. And go for it.
Awesome. Lee, you've been wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks again for having me. It was a pleasure.
That's it for our episode today with Lee, and we hope you enjoyed learning all about memoirs. For notes and resources from today's show, go to greenleafbookgroup.com/episode61. You can also find advice for writing, publishing, and promoting your work in my book, Ideas, Influence, and Income, which you can learn more about at ideasinfluenceandincome.com. If you've enjoyed our show, please rate and review us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever it is you listen to your podcasts. It means a lot to have your feedback and helps us make sure we're answering your publishing questions. A big thank you to Eleanor Fishbourne, who produces the published podcast, and we will be back next month with another new episode.
Thanks for listening to Published. To learn more, please visit greenleafbookgroup.com. And remember to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes.